Good morning on this rainy, raw Sunday morning. But you know, it's a good time to be in the Lord's house, and we're so glad that you're here. It's just like over the rain, way over the clouds, the sun's shining. And we know that in heaven, the sun is shining, and the Lord is Lord, and He's King of Kings. And people are worshiping Him, and we're gathered to worship and honor our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, today. We're glad that you've joined us, whether you're in the parking lot or whether you're listening later on the website, but we are glad that you've joined us to worship our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow in your presence, we come first just to honor you with our worship, with our praise, to proclaim that you are holy, that you are good, that you are Lord, that you love us. We come also to pray for the leadership of our nation, from the president to the governor to the county commissioners and the mayors, to the sheriffs, the highway patrol. We pray for those in authority. We lift them up, Father, that they might do that which would be accordance with your will. Not their will, not my will, but your will. Father, for those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, may they always stand for what's right. For those that are backslidden, I pray that you'll call them back to yourself. For those that are not saved, I pray, Father, that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And for Father, for those that might think they're saved but aren't, may they come to a realization through the power of the Holy Spirit that they need Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that a lot of things we don't understand, but we know that you are still on the throne. You are still King of Kings. You're still Lord of Lords, that every knee shall one day bow before Jesus. And so, Father, we pray for our nation, every place in our nation, that Jesus Christ might be honored. In his name we pray, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well this morning. Sunday, January the 31st, as January is now passed, and we'll start into February. We want to start off with some music this morning. We're going to feature Kathy High this morning on a solo one of my favorites. And Kathy has been a very faithful member to our music team throughout this pandemic as we have recorded services, many services, and she and Tonda have been so faithful. We want to feature Kathy this morning and sing a song that's one of my favorites, There Is a Savior. And all the people said amen. What a beautiful song, beautiful song. I have some announcements I want to share with you this morning. The first announcement I want to talk about is the fact that we will continue as we are doing now with our services. We will continue with our services, parking lot services on Sunday at 10, live for you at in the parking lot at 99.1 on the radio FM dial. And then we'll have the webcast, as usual, approximately 12:30, that you'll be able to hear the service on the web. Don't forget to get your gifts to the Pregnancy Resource Center. These gifts will need to be in by February the 7th. Pastor Ed tells us in the newsletter, I found it very interesting, that the Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes were delivered to Honduras. Honduras was a place where Pastor Ed had three mission trips himself in Central America. So maybe someone, as Pastor Ed says in the newsletter, and it would be quite an interesting situation, but maybe someone who he knew and why he met while in Honduras received one of those boxes. And I think that shows you how far-reaching this work can be. And so praise God for and give God the glory. We miss seeing each and every one of you. As you know, we're no longer inside doing this service. We only have three of us in the building this morning. But we miss seeing each of you every Sunday. But I want to remind you that the parking lot service has been picking up attendance, and more has come each Sunday. And we want you to bring somebody with you to the parking lot. Let them park beside of you and fellowship that way. But please bring somebody with you to the parking lot. I think it's a great way to invite people to church each Sunday. And that's all the announcements I have for today. Our prayer request continues to be large, and there's a large need there. But God is able. And our prayer request for this Sunday, let's remember P.J. Swan. P.J. Swan is the mother of Charlene Harville. PJ has suffered a brain aneurysm. She's in very serious condition. She went through emergency brain surgery to alleviate the pressure on the brain and bleeding, but she is in a life-threatening situation. So keep her in your family in your prayers. Tony Eifert, he continues to have problems with pain and his pain management and with the back. So let's remember him, as well as Rosina Tucker. From her fall at Christmas. She's still recuperating, but she's still having some problems with pain. Let's continue to pray for her. Barbara Whitley, let's remember Barbara during these lonely times that she is going through right now after the death of Don. So let's remember Barbara and the family. Shirley Edwards, talked to her. She's recovering from COVID, but she's still weak. So let's remember Shirley. Betty Davis is having some tests for her heart and several tests that she has coming up in March, so let's continue to pray for Betty. Betty is doing very well, but she does have those tests ahead of her. Nell Jackman, let's pray for Nell. She's homebound almost, but let's remember her as she is beginning. She has some therapy in her future. Let's remember her. The Danny Kendall family, the death and hit their family, and then let's remember Pat Burgess. Pat Burgess is still in Raleigh and going through therapy there. Let's continue to remember our church and as a whole, everyone in our church. When I say our church, I'm talking about the people who are the church. Let's remember all of them and keep them before the Lord in prayer. And remember our nation, our leaders as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for another Lord's Day. A day, Lord, who we've set aside for worship and we've set aside for prayer. And Lord, as we go before you today, Lord, in prayer, but first we want to thank you. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for the health of our congregation. But Lord, there are those of us, or some of us, Lord, that need a touch from you. And Lord, I want to lift them up to you today, Lord. We pray for Ms. P.J. Swan as she is in a life-threatening situation. But Lord, you're in control. You're in control. Let's pray, Lord, for Tony Eifert, Lord, and as he continues to have pain as he manages pain. And then Rosina Tucker, as she is she is recuperating from her fall. And then, Lord, Barbara Whitley, Lord, we pray for her. We pray for her and the entire family as, Lord, they are in these lonely, lonely times they're going through after the death of Don. We pray for Shirley Edwards, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the progress she's already made. But, Lord, she's still weak, and she's asked for prayer. We want to lift her up to you. We pray for Betty Davis. Betty, as she has some heart tests ahead related to her heart, we pray for her. Miss Nell Jackman, Lord, we pray for her, for the therapy that is ahead of her. We lift her up to you. The Danny Kendall family who've lost a member of their family in death, we pray for them. And then, Lord, for Miss Pat, we lift her up to you, Lord, and pray for her as she continues, Lord, to try to get her strength back where she can again walk. We pray for her. We pray for our church, for our congregation at our church, for everyone, Lord, and those who prioritize their time this morning to come out on this rainy day and to be in the parking lot. Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for them. And then, Lord, all those that will be listening on the web, we're so thankful for those who will be doing that as well. We thank you, Lord. Pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. And then, Lord, we want to pray for Pastor Ed, who will be coming forward to lead us, Lord, this morning in a message from you. And then, Lord, we'll be very, very careful, Lord, to thank you for all the things you do for us. And all that will be done today, we're going to praise you for everything that you do for us. In your sweet name I pray. Amen. We have a song, a congregation song, that we did when we opened up the second time we opened up into our church. But there's a congregation song that we did that I felt like it would work today very well. I listened to it, and I hope you enjoy it as we sing for the praise music today, God is So Good. It's a simple song, simple verses that repeat themselves, so you can sing right along with us, God is So Good.
So good. He is so good, and we do praise his name. And because he's so good, he sent that Savior that Kathy sang about, that Savior Jesus, that came to give us eternal life now and forever. Appreciate Wes coming each week and leading us, taking care of all the equipment and getting us on the air and doing all the things that I don't have a clue about. Appreciate Brother Leonard coming and doing the announcements and selecting the music each week. Appreciate you for listening. Appreciate every one of you that are listening and those of you that you share with others that they'll listen as well. This morning I want to start with a familiar phrase one that most of us have said and that probably all of us have heard said, use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Now, you may think about sometime when you got in the mail this fabulous coupon that said if you buy this product and it was a product you wanted and used and 50% off, and you stuck that in your pocket and you couldn't wait to buy it and got busy, and several days later, whenever you went to buy that product, the person checking you out and said, oh, that coupon's no good, it's out of date. You didn't use it, you lost it. One of the things that the those in the academic world are always concerned about, what the kids lose between the end of school in June and when it starts back in September or August. And I think back to my teenage years. I spent the summer picking peaches and working on the farm and selling produce. I sure wasn't conjugating French verbs and trying to do calculus and trigonometry equations. And we lose what we not use. And we all know how it is, works physically. We may lift weights, running or run, or have some other type of exercise program, and then along comes some type of business that prevents it, or an illness, or maybe we get the flu, and or we have an injury, and we go for weeks, and we don't proceed with our regimen, and when we go back, we can't lift as much, we can't run as far, we don't have the stamina, we didn't use it, and we lost it. Well, now that is not just a common, you know, 20th century idea. It's a biblical concept. It's a biblical concept. In the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us the parable of the sower who goes out to sow, and all of the various types of soil that the seed falls on, and the disciples don't get it. And they come back to Jesus and say, now we don't understand what's going on. And so Jesus gave this answer in Matthew 13, beginning at verse 11. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For, now listen to this, use it or lose it. But whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now that seems harsh. That seems unloving. That doesn't sound like Jesus. But then go on to verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, let me read that in the Passion Translation. And I think you'll see it even clearer. Jesus explained, you've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom, but they have not. For everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have will be taken from them. He says that open, teachable heart. You know, you can have two people sitting side by side in a sanctuary. Pastor preaches. Holy Spirit speaks. And one of those people is sitting there like a sponge. They are soaking it in, just taking every word and applying it and growing. And as a sponge in water, they're just getting wetter and wetter, in a sense. The other person sitting right beside of them It's like they have a plexiglass shield around them. And that same word by that same pastor, anointed by that same Holy Spirit, just bounces off that shield and they don't get it. It's not the word. It's not the anointing. It's not the pastor. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's whether or not they're teachable and willing to learn. And the concern that I have today is that, are we willing to learn and are we willing to grow and to keep growing? Are we willing to stay strong in the Lord, or are we going to not learn and are we going to backslide? In this particular time of the season which we are in the world, not just in America, but in the world, it's going to be so easy for people to backslide, to grow cold on the things of God. Some people just close their hearts. Some people get careless. And they lose what they have. What they have goes away. A beautiful, it's not beautiful, but it's a sad example of this. It's found in the book of Judges in chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. And to me, this is the last half of a part of this verse is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. Do you remember Samson had great, great anointing? He could take the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 Philistines. Now, I don't know if I had a AK-47, I could take on 1,000. But with just a piece of bone, he had such an anointing and strength that he could do that. But Samson got careless with his anointing. He got careless about the hand of God on his life. And finally, he began to tell Delilah all of his secrets. He dallied with sin, and what happened? She had his hair cut. And then in verse 20 of Judges 16, she said to him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." He woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And the King James says, "He wist not that the Lord had departed from him." He knew not that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't realize he had lost the power and the anointing of God on his life. Now it's sad to say, and when I make this next statement, probably some faces and names will flash through your mind. I know of pastors, missionaries, deacons, teachers, musicians who at one time walked and ministered in great anointing of God. God used them mightily. They were powerful in the things of God. But then they got careless. Then they got slack. Then they began to play with sin. And they lost their anointing. They lost their anointing. And they may have still got up behind a pulpit or a teacher stand or picked up a microphone to sing, but the anointing of God was not there anymore. How sad. How sad that because they became careless with holy things, they lost what God was doing in them and through them. Samson was like that. Well, now it's real easy, very, very easy to say, "Well, now, Preacher Ed, I know what you're talking about, but that would never happen to me. That would never happen to me." Really? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, very interesting. And I'm going to read that out of the King James, and then I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation because I want you to hear it explained a little bit. Paul says in the King James 9:27, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In the Passion Translation, he says, for that reason, I don't run just for exercise or box like one throwing aimless punches, but I train like a champion athlete. I subdue my body and get it under my control so that after preaching the good news to others, I myself won't be disqualified. Now think about that. If somebody as committed to the Lord, as anointed as the Apostle Paul always was, said, I have to be careful. I have to be careful, lest I lose the anointing of God in my life. Lest after going all over the world, or the known world of his day, lest I go, all of those churches I started, lest all of those things I could have done and have already done, if I'm not careful, I can lose it all. Now here was Paul, a man that had been caught up to the third heaven, a man that had had some marvelous experiences with the Lord. And yet Paul knew he had to be careful and not lose what he had. And you see, that's what we need to do. We have to do. We have to be careful that we don't lose what we have. It's so easy. The devil tempts us. He tests us. He brings all kinds of things in our life. And if we're not careful, we can lose it. And you see, Paul was looking not at just at the his own life, but Paul was looking at the long range. Paul was looking down into the years of the future. And I think we can explain it this way. If you turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes this to Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You see, Paul was concerned not just about himself. He was concerned about his protege, his disciple, Timothy. He said, now, Timothy, I'm going to try to stay faithful. And Timothy, I want you to stay faithful. And then in very interesting, over in the next chapter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 of 2 Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Again, he's encouraging Timothy to stay strong. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He says, Timothy, you stay strong. You stir up the gift that's in you. You teach some others who will be able to teach some others and continue the cycle. Paul had Timothy and Titus and a whole bunch of others. Elijah had Elisha. And you remember when Elisha was asked, what do you want? He said, I want twice your anointing. I want twice your anointing. And if you go back and count up all the miracles in Elisha's life, there were twice as number of miracles as was in Elijah's life. It's interesting. He said, I want twice the anointing. And of the recorded miracles, there were twice as many. Let me ask you a question. Who's your Timothy? Who's your Elisha? If you don't use it and lose it, what's that going to mean to the next generation? We're in a critical time now, and parents and grandparents need to be very, very careful that their children and their young people are disciplined, not in the sense of spankings and things like that, but disciplined in the things of the Lord. Taught, encouraged, prayed with them, answer their questions. You see, if we stay strong and faithful, others stay strong and faithful. I was reading one of my devotion books this week about a family that divorced God. And he said, divorce God? I said, yeah, they were a faithful family, but the minister in their church messed up. And so they said, if that's the way it is, we don't want anything to do with God. Now, they should not have done that. They should have realized the minister just messed up. It wasn't God. But parents, grandparents, we need to be careful that we stay strong and we share with what we have with others, especially those that are younger than we are, so that they stay strong. That the next generation that comes up also knows the Lord. In so many churches, somehow or another, there's a disconnect. And younger generations don't come to know the Lord. You know, that happened in the Old Testament. If you read at the end of the book of Joshua, the first of the book of Judges, it says something to the effect, and Israel served all the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. But then there arose a generation which knew not the Lord. Somehow or another, there was a disconnect, and a generation came along that didn't know the Lord. They lost it. Well, is it possible to use it and keep it? Jesus said, those that have, to more will be given. Those that are like those sponges that are soaking it up, those people like that, they will continue to grow in the Lord. What was Paul's testimony in 2 Timothy 4? I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul says, I'm ready to go because I've finished the course. I've run the race all the way to the finish line. I've held on to my faith all the way through. And I'm looking for a crown. And it's a crown that not only can I'll get, but a crown that others can get. You see, it is possible. It is possible to be faithful, even in difficult times. I think of my mom. She didn't miss hardly a handful of Sundays for years and years and years. She was so faithful. I remember when she and all four of us boys stood up and got our 12-year perfect attendance pins. And not long after that, I went to preaching all over the countryside and didn't make it to West Albemarle, so I quit getting the pins, but I don't know how many more Mom got. But there came a time when Dad was bedfast, and I think it was something like 17, 18, 19 months that Mom stayed home 24/7 and looked after Dad. And she couldn't go to church because she was looking after her husband of over 50 years. But as soon as Dad passed away, Mom was right back teaching that same Sunday school class that she taught for 40 years. You see, she had something that was a faith, that was a commitment to her Lord and to her church. And even though she went through a time when she wasn't able to do what she had always done, she didn't lose it. I go back and think about old Paul. How many times did they throw that boy in prison? Now, Paul could have sat there in prison and moaned and groaned and complained. Well, I guess can't get out and preach, can't do anything for the Lord. I'm just stuck here in this desolate mess. Here I am in prison. Is that what Paul did? No. There's three things that Paul did when he's in prison. Or four, really. One, I know he prayed because he tells all every church, I pray for you every day. I pray for you. I pray for you. So Paul prayed. He kept right on praying for all the believers and that he knew. Paul witnessed to those Roman soldiers. Now, on some occasions, they would have been chained to Paul. I mean, they weren't going anywhere. They had their, what, maybe 4-hour shift or whatever. And for that 4 hours, they were chained arm to arm or whatever to Paul. And so he just witnessed to them big time. We also know that there were those that could visit Paul in prison. And so Paul taught those. And then in prison, Paul wrote about a half of the New Testament. And from what we understand, most of it was through dictation. So he would have had somebody there who was listening as he dictated Ephesians and Galatians and Philippians and Colossians and Romans. And I think, got to thinking this morning, driving over to the church. You think about those Roman soldiers. They're chained to Paul. They're not going anywhere. And Paul's dictating Ephesians. Now, we don't understand it all ourselves right now, after all of these years of studying and all the theological books that have been written. Can you imagine that Roman soldier that was coming out of heathenism and paganism and idol worship, and he's sitting there and he's not going anywhere, and Paul's dictating Ephesians, and when he gets done, he said, now, Paul, explain. Great opportunity for Paul to witness. You see, Paul was not in a usual situation, but Paul didn't let that stop him from serving the Lord. You see, you're not in the usual situations, but that doesn't mean you can't serve the Lord. There are all kinds of ways you can serve the Lord. But going back to the use it or lose it, you have a part to play. If I walked up to you and you got your hands in your pocket and I hold out a $100 bill to you and say, I've got a gift for you, and you won't take your hands out of your pocket and take my $100, I'm just going to stick it back in my pocket and walk away. Or I thought of another illustration, since I like to cook. If you had a world-famous pastry chef say, I want to help you make a cake that has won blue ribbons all over the world. I've got all the ingredients. All you've got to do is just help me make it. Now you, if you sit over in the corner and say, no, you'd make it, the chef's going to say, forget it, and walk off. But if you jump up and get your pots and pans out and get started, in an hour or so, you're going to be eating something delicious. God comes to us and he says, I've got my word. Had it recorded for you. Got the Holy Spirit to teach you that word. I've got peace, joy, love, the Holy Spirit, all the blessings of life that you want, but you've got to use them. You've got to participate. You've got to make your effort. And folks, in this difficult time, we can use it or lose it. And Isaiah and Jesus use that idea that there are spiritual things that we can gain, or there are spiritual things that we can lose. You can come out of this pandemic with a powerful walk with God, or you can come out in a backslidden condition. It's not going to be God's fault. It's going to be your choice. What are your gifts? Your spiritual gifts, your abilities, your knowledge. What has the Lord given you? Are you using it or losing it? Right now, the Lord brings to mind a fellow named Bill Gothard, who traveled, I know, all over the United States and maybe other places, teaching something called the Basic Institute of Youth something. I forgot now. Fantastic teacher. I heard him at least twice over in Charlotte, week-long teaching. And his testimony is sort of strange. He says whenever he was in maybe 6th, 7th, 8th grade, he was so far behind, it looked like he was going to be a high school dropout. And so he began to memorize the Word of God. And suddenly, the more of the Word of God he memorized, the better his grades got. Until he finished pretty well in high school. Went off to college. He quit memorizing Scripture and looked like he was going to flunk out of college. And then suddenly, a little light went on. He said, "No, wait a minute. It worked before." And he began to work on his Scripture memorization again. And he finished with that college degree. And he had all kinds of spiritual truths. I've got a number of his books. And when we would go like to the Charlotte, it'd be like in the Charlotte Coliseum, not the newer ones, but one of the older ones. And there would be thousands of people that would come to hear him teach for a week. Spiritual, deep spiritual truths. Because he knew that if he made available to himself the things of God, God would bless it. Are you using it or losing it? In Proverbs, it says something about money. It says the person that's, I'll just paraphrase it, sort of, the stingy person is going to lose what he has. And I think the King James says, he that scattereth gets even more. It says, you know, the person that sows gets even more. And you think about that in the farming sense. You can have a bag of corn seed, and you can sit on that bag of corn seed and insects will eat it up. You can take that bag of corn seed and put it in a good field. And come harvest time, you're going to have a number of bags of corn seed. It's the same with our money. We can be stingy with it and it can just sort of fritter it away. Or we can sow it into the good things of God and watch God bless it and multiply it. Musicians who decide to quit playing, quit singing, sooner or later, they pretty much lose it. What's God given you? I know I didn't get to preach very often when I was in Oklahoma. It took me a while to get it back to going when I moved back to North Carolina. You can lose it if you don't use it. I pray that each person that's listening to me today will be like that sponge, that person with a teachable spirit, that you will learn more and more and more, and the more God pours into your life, the more you want God to pour into your life. The more anointing you get, the more anointing you want. And I pray that none of us will be like, have that unteachable spirit and be like that person with the plexiglass shield around them and say, "I know it. I know enough. I don't want to know anymore. I refuse to be taught." 5 years from now, will you be like a Samson, missing the power of God in your life? Or will you be like a Paul, growing stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord every day. Will you be able to come to the end of life and say with Paul, I've run all the way to the finish line. I didn't drop out. Will you be able to say, I've accomplished that which God placed me in this earth to accomplish, and He gets the glory? If you're here listening today, either in the parking lot or on the web, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today you'll acknowledge I'm lost and I know I'm lost. If I died at this moment, I'd spend an eternity away from God. But suddenly I believe that the Holy Spirit has convicted me that Jesus is the Savior, that He died and rose again, and so I proclaim with my mouth Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would you receive Him? He'll welcome you with open arms. The idea of me standing there with that $100 bill and you with your hands in your pocket is a beautiful picture. The Father standing there offering you salvation through Jesus. All you have to do is just take your hands out of your pocket and receive Him. And you'll be so glad that you did. If you're listening to me and you know that you've been slipping, that you're in danger of falling, would you be like Paul and say, I want to run to the end. I'm going to be careful. If you've been making excuses for not serving the Lord because of the times and the situation, would you be able to say to the Lord, I'm going to look for the opportunities? Paul couldn't go out and preach if he was in jail. He couldn't go out and start a church in the sense of knocking on doors from house to house. But Paul could do what he could do where he was. You may be homebound. You can pray. You can call. You can witness over the phone. All kinds of things that we can do. Just allow the Lord to show you the ingredients of the cake He wants you to be making right where you are. And know that He doesn't ask you to do it alone, and that the Holy Spirit is always there to help. Father God, as we bow before You this morning in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your presence. Thank You for speaking to our hearts. Thank You for those that are listening. Thank You for those that are listening with spiritual ears and receiving what You want to say to them. Not what I want to say to them, but what You want to say to them. Father, thank You for loving us and drawing us to Yourself. Thank You that as we walk the Christian walk, the Holy Spirit is our empowerment, our encourager, and our teacher. Father, I pray for those that need Jesus as Lord and Savior, that today they would come to know Him. I pray for those that are in danger of backsliding, that You would call them back lovingly to Yourself. And Father, I pray that You'll show all of us how we can be a witness for You in these troublesome times. And I thank You for doing that in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. Amen.